Father, I just pray that Your will would be done at this time. Lord, that each one of us would hear from You this morning, that Your voice would be so clear to our spirit, that You would meet every need, that You would change lives, that You would just have Your way with every person here this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So, I know not everybody was here last week, but anybody can remember what I talked about last week by raise of hands? If you was here and you remember, it was remember attention deficit disorder and how many of us, we can't think about anything for very long and we move on and then 2 weeks ago, anybody remember the sermon from 2 weeks ago? Talked about legacy, leaving a legacy. What about 3 weeks ago? I don't remember either. I've got my notes. I'm cheating. So it was kind of a test to see, at least I had some remember last week's sermon. If you weren't here last week, you missed it because we got done at 11:40 because I was trying to do a quick sermon to see if it lasted longer and if you all would remember it. And so we'll keep kind of testing the waters to see, but ultimately the goal is for each one of us here to hear from the Lord and for God to speak specifically to you. And it doesn't matter what I'm saying, even the verses that I read, if you're not open to hear from God, but if you came here expecting, if you came here hoping, I think the Lord will have something for you today. What I want to talk about this morning is how much circumstances rule our lives. Does circumstances rule you all's lives the way that it does mine? Let me just give you an example. Friday, I was having an okay day. I was at work and just kind of working. I was supposed to be off Friday, but I was filling in for a guy because it was his daughter's homecoming. And so, I went ahead and worked Friday but that's hard. You don't like working, especially when you're supposed to be off. And I worked and so about 4 o'clock comes and I thought my day was over. I'd empty out my trailer. I'd filled it up and I come in. And there wasn't hardly anything left to do. They'd already sent guys home like at 1 o'clock that had way less seniority than me. And they said, I'm sorry, you got to go back out and make some more pickups. And all at once, I went from an okay, decent mood to, I go to the first place that they sent me to. And I get there and they said, it's going to be at least an hour before you got anything ready. I said, well, I'm not going to sit here for an hour because I had another stop. And I left, went and got the other stop, came back. They said, it's still probably going to be an hour. I don't even know why you're here. We told your boss not to even send anybody here yet. And so I'm sitting here thinking, I'm getting stuck on a Friday, working late, and they didn't even want anybody here yet. And all them guys coming in and going home, and I'm stuck here on a Friday night. Wah, wah, wah. That's exactly how I felt. But I kept trying to go, Lord, help me. Help me not to be grouchy. Help me not to get so angry. Help me not to be so upset. But circumstances still have such a big influence on my life. Galatians 5:24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passion and desires. And so I've got three or four scriptures here that I'm about to give you guys about our sinful nature. But when I was reading this, to crucify something, it says to stake, drive down with a stake, to crucify the flesh, destroy its power utterly. So think about that. To crucify the flesh is to destroy its power utterly. Well, when I'm letting circumstances influence me, what is that really influencing me? It's the flesh. I wanted to go home. Guys with less seniority than me had already went home. Guys with less seniority than me were about to go home. As I was pulling out the gate, I saw a guy pulling in that's only been there for 2 years, and I knew he was going home. I've been there 19 years, and I'm going back out on a Friday night. Flesh. Flesh. To utterly destroy its power. And then it had a little parentheses there. The nature of the figurative implies that the destruction is attended with intense pain. You hear that? With intense pain. To utterly destroy the flesh with intense pain. What I want to talk to you all about is my struggle with the flesh. My struggle with circumstances, and sometimes for it to be destroyed, it's going to hurt. It's going to cause pain. It's going to be me stepping back and allowing the Holy Spirit to really begin to work and quit letting circumstances rule over me so much. Romans 6:6 says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." You guys are probably going, "Well, wait a minute, Pete, you're talking about sin. And isn't that different than the flesh? Isn't that different than you getting upset because you're getting mistreated at work?" I don't really think so, because I'm allowing it to make me angry. I'm allowing it to destroy my, if I allowed it enough, it would destroy my testimony. Because I'd have a big old fit, I'd tell my boss off, and I'd act out. And some of you guys have been there. I've been there. It's to understand that I'm no longer a slave to sin. So that would mean I'm no longer a slave to my flesh. So that would mean that I need to utterly destroy that, that it's been crucified now that I'm in Christ Jesus. Is this making sense to anybody? But still, I allow my circumstances to rule over me so much. If you want to, you can open up your Bibles to Ephesians 4, but I'm only reading 3 or 4 verses here. And then I'm jumping around a lot, so it's going to be a lot like last week, but not quite as quick as last week. But I actually took out some verses because I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm trying to keep our attention." Okay, I'm trying to keep our attention here. Ephesians 4:22 says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." You know, when I read this and I think of how my attitude is and how my mind is sometimes, and when I really put it into perspective to Jesus, I have nothing to complain about. I have nothing to gripe about. I have no reason to get upset over the little issues that I get upset with. Jesus was crucified. Jesus was beat. He was spit upon. He bore our sin on that cross, and He did not deserve any of that. And when He was mocked, when He was ridiculed, when all those things happened, He said nothing. But yet, because I have to work an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours late at work, I'm going to let it put me in a bad mood. I'm going to be grouchy. I'm going to let it ruin my night. I can't tell you how many times I've come in from work and Crystal say, "Pete, the day's over. Leave it. Leave it." Because I'll come in and that, and the day has influenced me so much that it's affecting my home life. And sometimes I'll say, "You don't understand." And she'll listen to me. But she's right. She's 100% right. I need to leave that at work. Actually, I don't even need to let it affect me so much, because if I'm really following the Lord, if I've really crucified the flesh, and this whole time I'm just, okay, Friday night I'm sitting there and I'm going, "Okay, Lord, well, house insurance is due in 2 weeks and I just paid my taxes, and God, you know I need to work this late. And I need to work this late, and it's good. I'm going to get a little overtime." And But it's Friday, and I want to go. The battles, the battles. It's no fair. It's no fair how we struggle. You know, sometimes it seems like, in my life anyway, the victory, that I have victory in big sin, so to speak. Do you guys ever feel that way? Like, you know, I'm not out looking to have an affair. I'm not out, you know, cheating. I'm not out robbing a store. I'm not out doing the big sins. Okay. I have victory in those areas, but sometimes it seems like, that it's in the little things that my flesh really gets me. It's in the anger, it's in the grouchiness, it's in the why is this happening, it's that old nature of I want it my way. I want, you know, and you know, it seems to me like, seems to me like God's been very, 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 very good to me. And I'm very, 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 very blessed. You know, believe it or not, this week one day I was driving and I just began to think of how awesome God has been to me. And I teared up because it just overwhelmed me how good God's been to me and how undeserving I am. But it's amazing how a little circumstance and how completely different my emotions, how completely different my thoughts can go. A customer making me mad, my boss telling me to do something that I don't like, you know, gas prices going up. You know, I'm just trying to name some things, you know, here that get to us, that bother us. And how quickly we can give in to that flesh. And as I was thinking about this, I kept thinking about Peter. And I talked about Peter a little bit Wednesday night with the youth. But Peter just kept coming to my mind about the ups and downs of life. And it kind of reminds me of myself and the ups and downs and the highs and lows. And Mark 1:16, it says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. So that's Peter. He was called. Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I hope all of you that are sitting here today have felt that call like Jesus has said, come follow me. I pray that you have felt that. So hopefully you've all been called just as I was called. Come follow me. And what did they do? They came and they followed. And then go back. I'm in Matthew 24. Like I said, I'm going to be jumping around a lot, just reading two or three verses here and there. Matthew 14, verse 22. And this is, I'll just start reading it. It's a familiar text here. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Now evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It is a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. How awesome is that? Any of you ever feel like you're walking on water? You know, there's times in my life that I can feel God's presence, that I can know God's direction so much that I, so to speak, feel like I'm walking on water. Like, God, I know you're in control. God, I know that I'm in your will. But verse 30, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me. You know, isn't that us with our circumstances? The minute a little storm blows up, the minute a little problem arises, the minute the car breaks down, the minute the air conditioning unit goes out, the minute that we get a ugly look, or someone doesn't like our social media post, or someone doesn't, you know, the minute that happens, and how quickly we're beginning to look at the storms around us. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Verse 31, slowly Jesus reached out His hand and caught him. Oh, that's not what it says. It says immediately Jesus reached out His hand and caught him. "You of little faith," He said, "why did you doubt?" You know, sometimes in my life I allow circumstances to rule so much because I doubt. God, is this really Your will? God, is this really what You want? God, or I allow this flesh to well up and I doubt that I can subdue it. I doubt that I'm more than an overcomer. And I allow the circumstances to rule. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" He asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then He warned His disciples not to tell anyone that He was the Christ. Peter just got a really good praise from the Father, from Jesus Christ. The Father has revealed this to you, that for you to know this. He's on the mountaintop. Sometimes in our walk with God, we get on the mountaintop. But watch how quickly things change. Verse 21, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hand of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that He must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Tim brought up this verse in Sunday school, and I smiled real big because I knew I was going to be preaching about this. How quick Peter went from "You're awesome, this is great, you know this," to "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Can I tell you something? When I allow circumstances to rule my life, I no longer have the things of God in mind, but I have the things of men. Does that make sense to everyone this morning? Because when I look at things from God's perspective, everything changes. Everything changes. But when I'm looking at it from my flesh, from my human perspective, then I'm mistreated, then life's not fair, then I'm going to be angry, then I'm going to be upset, I'm going to be mad at that person, I'm going to... But if I would back up and I would look at things with the mind of Christ, and I would understand that sometimes we have to go through hard things. Sometimes we have to go through trials. Sometimes life isn't fair. And not allow the flesh to well up inside of me. Not allow the flesh to rule me. You think about people, Paul and Peter and these different men of God that had been whipped, had been beat, had been stoned, had been put in jail. But they could still sing praises. And I'm mad because I got to work late and make overtime. I mean, that's just my story for this week. What about your story? what made you mad? What sent you over the edge? What influenced you yesterday? Working out in the yard, trying to get a bunch of stuff done, trying to get our pool closed. Oh, poor me, I got to close my pool. And I'm hot and I'm sweaty and I come inside and it's hot in the house. And then I'm getting grouchy. Turn on the fan. I'm burning up last night. I'm hot. Turn on the air. But then what happens? Then it gets cold real quick because it's cold outside. Turn the heat back on. Oh, Lord, help us. We're so spoiled. What's in our minds? What's in our hearts? Matthew 26, verse 32. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. Keaton, I figured that out. I'll talk to you later about it. Keaton had a question about that this week, and I didn't know the answer, but I think God showed me. But even if all fall away, I'm not going to disown you, Lord. I never will. I never will. I'm not going to disown you. Lord, I'm going to stand firm. You know, it's easy on Sunday mornings for us to all sit here and smile and look at each other. You guys all smile at me. Everybody smile. It just makes you feel better when you smile. It's easy for us to sit here and smile and look at each other and say, I'm going to do good this week. God, I'm going to have victory. And like I said, sometimes in the big things, we have the victory. But here, the Lord told him, you're going to disown me, Peter. You think you're standing so firm, you're going to disown me. We all know that Peter ends up denying Jesus. Matthew 26:75, then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. You know, I wonder if we, in our moments of weakness, would take it as seriously as Peter did. Okay, that's a big deal. He denied Jesus. But what if, when I lost my cool at work, I felt so much conviction and so much in my heart that it caused me to weep? God, I'm sorry I failed you. What if those moments that you lose your temper with your kids, with your wife, with your husband, with your boss, that you've just blown it, that it would cause your heart to sink? What if those moments that you gossiped and you thought it was good, it felt good to talk bad about that person, to slander that person, and then all at once it came to you and you realized and you wept bitterly because, God, I don't want to fail. Oh, it's easy in the big things to say if I've blown it and I'm going to prison, if I've blown it and I've caused all this hurt. But what about in the little things? What about in the things that the flesh just has so much control over you? Peter in John 21:3 says, I'm going out to fish. Simon Peter told them and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Can I tell you something? I think that's many believers have done that today, that we've gone back to fishing. And when you look at Peter's life, what was he? He was a fisherman. And what did Jesus do? He called him and we read that. He said, come, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And we see the ups and downs and ups and downs of Peter's life. And this is after Jesus was crucified. And what did he say? I'm going back fishing. And I think that there's a lot of people sitting in churches today that have gone back fishing. They may not have done it physically, but spiritually, they've gone back to the world. Their heart's desire is back in the world. Or they just said, this living for Jesus is just too hard. And I've gone through too many trials. I've faced too many tough situations. Or I can't subdue my flesh. My flesh just keeps welling up. So I'm just going to give in. And we've gone back to fishing. Does that make sense this morning? We've just gone back, and physically we may be sitting here, but spiritually our hearts are far from God, and spiritually we're not trying to crucify the flesh. We're not trying to live differently. We're just the same old people on the inside. We've gone back fishing. Y'all, but something happened to Peter. Is that he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he would begin to preach repentance. He would heal the crippled beggar. He would live in victory. He would walk in victory. And can I tell you something? If you're contemplating going back fishing, if you feel like in your heart you can't get victory over these things, can I tell you something? That's a lie straight out of the pits of hell. God can give you victory this morning. The first verses that we read, to crucify your flesh means to utterly destroy, in that it implies intense pain. That sometimes living for the Lord, sometimes crucifying that flesh is intense pain. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to say, I'm choosing to not get angry. I'm choosing to not give in to that temptation. I'm choosing not to give in to this old flesh. Sometimes it's causing pain. Have you ever seen a drug addict going through withdrawals? Have you ever seen an alcoholic going through withdrawals? And sometimes their whole body will convulse and it's physically making them ill because they're resisting. You know what? For us, sometimes I've been at the point to where I felt physically ill resisting a sin that had such a hold on me. And sometimes it's going to cause intense pain. But Peter had his ups and downs. You have had your ups and downs. But there is victory for each and every one of us when we decide to crucify the flesh. Colossians 3, and this is it. Colossians 3, 5, it says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. I want y'all to think about that. And there's a list here. But put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. We don't like to think about the wrath of God. And we like to just wink at sin. We like to gloss over it. Oh, I'm okay because I showed up to church. I'm okay. But this is the Word of God. This isn't Pete. This is the Word of God. Put to death those things. Those things. You used to walk in this way in the life you once lived. Can I ask you, since you've been coming to church, since you've been a believer, has your life changed? Because if it hasn't, then something's wrong. And maybe you're like me. I'm not going to sit up here and paint this pretty picture like I walk around going, like nothing ever happens. I just confess, Friday, I let work get the best of me. But my life has changed so much since I became a believer. And praise God that it has. And I thank God that the more I learn and that the more that I know, that next time, hopefully I'm going to be even stronger so that I won't give in to the flesh, so that I won't give in to that temptation, so that I won't let my boss make me so mad. Hopefully, I can put to death the flesh. But you now, verse 8, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. Okay, this is, if you guys been asleep, I tried to keep it short like last week. Put to death things such as this. Anger. Okay? So we can say it's easy to put to death the sexual immorality. It's easy to put to death the evil desires or greed. But here it's saying anger. And then it must be put to death. Rage. Go to a football game and you want to see some rage? Look up in the stands at mamas and daddies. Malice. Slander. Oh, but it's so fun to talk about people. It's so fun to point out their flaws. It's so fun to say what all they're doing wrong. Put it to death. Filthy language from your lips. Y'all, God delivered me from... I had a filthy, filthy mouth before I got saved, and God delivered that from me quick. And I thank God for that. There's other areas of my life that's been more of a struggle, but y'all, it's not okay. It's not okay. The words that's coming out of so many people's mouths. I was at McDonald's, I think it was Friday, and I could hear these men talking, and I'm old, but I'm not that old. And I remember a time when if men talked that way, they definitely wouldn't talk like that in front of a woman. And these men are just sitting there spewing this garbage out, and there's women and kids all around them. But half the time, the women are talking the same way. It's not okay. Filthy language from your lips. Verse 9, do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices has been put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. See, it goes back to Tim has pretty much preached this ever since I've known Tim. We preached it here so often. What are you feeding? If you're feeding the old self, that's what's going to be getting stronger. But if you're living a new life and renewing yourself in the knowledge of the Word of God and the knowledge of our Creator, then that's what's going to be getting stronger. The more that I feed the Spirit, the stronger the Spirit's going to get. The more that I feed the flesh, the stronger that the flesh is going to get. Verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, what did we begin with? Peter was called. You all are called, whether you know it or not. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. I wanted to stop there, but I can't. Let's read two more verses. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Okay, that last little bit talks about being thankful, giving thanks. And it's amazing to me when I begin to give thanks to God in all circumstances, how quickly those circumstances can change. Clothing myself with verses 12 through 13, 14, it says with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, covering it all with love. You know, sometimes I think I'm getting pretty close, and then I realize how far away I am. A young lady that I coached in softball for years, her mom died last week, and her mom was around my age. And I felt so bad for this young lady. She's Madeline's age, and to lose her mom at such a young age and everything. And, you know, my heart went out to her. And then one of the moms from our softball team had an old group text, because this is from 6 years ago, probably, the last time we all, Madeline was probably 15, the last time we were traveling ball and playing tournaments and all that. And this mom, one of the other coaches' wives, sent out a text to everybody about this girl's mom passing away, and that the funeral expenses are on her and her little brother, who's a senior. and said if anybody would like to help, and everybody started donating money and stuff, and I was so glad she did that. But then I said, Lord, why didn't I think of that? You know, here I think I'm compassionate. Here I think I got all together. Why did that thought not come to my mind to do something like that? I still got a ways to go. And I'm thankful that I'm still learning. I'm thankful that the Lord said, yeah, maybe you should have thought of this. But we did take up money and they got it to the girl and everything. But, you know, just when I think, here I've got victory in this area, and I really don't. Here I think I'm loving and compassionate because I've done this or done that, and then I'm blindsided by, how did I not see that? Y'all, it's a continual daily walk with the Lord. If you've blown it this last week, if you've allowed your circumstances to rule your life, you can stop it right now. You can ask God to forgive you. You can ask Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And y'all, and it's a struggle. It's a struggle for me. But to truly get to where we all need to get, we need to get on our knees. And we need to open up the Word of God. And we need to take it serious. I can't pray for victory, but still watch garbage on television, still listen to garbage on the radio, still go to the wrong places and fill myself with all that and say, oh Lord, but oh, I wish I had victory. No, it's filling yourself with the right things. And it's crucifying the flesh. Intense pain sometimes. It's hard. But I want victory. Do y'all want victory? I want victory in my life. I want to quit being grouchy just because things don't go my way. I want to quit being a baby because I kind of am when things just aren't right. And allow the only thing to rule in my life is the Holy Spirit. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, You know the struggles that I go through. You know the struggles that every one of us in this room go through. Lord, I pray that this message spoke to every heart in here, Lord, of the things that we need to change. Lord, maybe we feel like we've got victory in big areas, so to speak. But, Father, there's little areas of our life that we need to work. That we need to work on. And Lord, we need the power of Your Holy Spirit, the power of Your presence to transform us. Father, I pray that each one of us, Lord, that we wouldn't go back fishing. We wouldn't throw in the towel at this point. Father, that we would learn to know Your voice, that we would learn to walk in victory each and every moment of each and every day by the knowledge and knowing that we are a new creation and putting to death the old self and clothing ourselves with the new. Lord, to know that we are a new creation through You, through Your power, through Your Holy Spirit, and that each and every day we will begin to walk in that. Father, I know, I feel it in my spirit, there's some here that's struggling. Lord, I pray that right now that they would feel Your presence like they've never felt before, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would go out and touch them, Lord, that I just feel there's some struggling so much. And Father, it just feels like maybe there's some that have some blinders on and they don't see themselves. Lord, may their eyes be open. May their eyes be open this morning to changes that they need to make. Lord, have Thy way now. In Jesus' mighty name, have Thy way. If you need prayer for anything, the altars are open.
I'm giving You my heart and all it is within. I lay it all down for the sake of You, my King.
really truly hope that this message has helped some of you to think, to not allow circumstances to rule you so much, and to begin to walk in victory, crucifying the flesh, and walk full of the Holy Spirit. I hope every one of us can walk in victory this week in every area of our life that we can overcome. Y'all have a blessed afternoon, Bible study tonight at 6:30.